All right. I just realized I usually start a lot of my shows by saying all right, but all right. Welcome back, folks out there in Internetica, to the Holonine Spotlight, our interview podcast on the Holonine Network. I'm your host, Dave the Clone, the madman behind all this, all the stuff you see here, the wizardry and Wizard of Ozness of it all. And joining me tonight is a really cool episode I've been looking forward to doing for a long time, because, you know, I look for people who have really interesting and cool stories in whatever form or fashion that takes. And it hasn't even led me back to my old stomping grounds and the days of old from young Dave's life until now. Finally, somebody from back in the day has risen into the sort of light of they've got something really cool going on, and I figured, hey man, why don't you jump on my show? But even using the word man is a little misleading, because it's actually my friend Nady, who is the proprietor of Nady's Way, which you can find at nadiesway.com. That's N-A-T-I-E-S.
Oh wait.
Is that not it? Am I spelling it wrong? I'm already spelling it wrong.
It's nadyquate.com.
Oh, it's your name. I thought it was your show. Okay, so anyway, obviously, she just introduced herself. This is my friend from back in high school. And now, of course, we all keep up with each other through Facebook and stuff. And I've been seeing all these posts about all this really kind of, to me, it's always something I've actually been very interested in. So I'm glad that there's somebody I know who I can have an honest conversation with about this, and will actually give me answers with information. But I've seen you posting all these videos, and I've seen this sort of Nady's Way being pushed a lot on your page. So I was like, Nady, what's going on? I have to talk to you for the podcast. And thank you for saying yes. Welcome on the air, and tell everybody a little bit about yourself. I'm sure that was a little bit of a rambly intro.
Hello. Hi, everyone. My name is Nady Quate, and it is such a pleasure to be on this podcast today. And I'll just go into a little bit about who I am. And
well, sure, because I mean, I just remember you walking around the halls of Tenafly, and never in a million years would I've been like, okay, she's going to be doing videos on the internet about realigning your energies and getting in touch with the pulses of the world. I mean, of course, we didn't know we would all have Facebook pages. We didn't know we would all be doing media like this from the comfort of our own homes back then. But you know, I always had this impression that you were like a really good person. You always had like that kind of air about you, that you were just kind of always achieving great things. And so to me, when I saw that you had this, I don't know, to me, a very interesting kind of area to have wound up in. I didn't know you well enough back then to know that this might have been the kind of thing that was in your path. So yeah, tell us a little bit about how you wound up. I guess you could start by telling us what Nady's Way is, and then kind of tell us how you wound up starting it.
Okay, great. So Nady's Way is a dynamic approach to working with people, both adults and children, that integrates a whole range of different modalities. What I found in working with people over the years, over the past like almost 20 years now, is that it's not just one technique that works for someone. It's really meeting their needs on so many different levels. And so I always had this feeling that even though I started out as a teacher, I was like, there's just so much more there for me, so that I can be offering to people. And I decided that even when I was a teacher, I was always coaching people, coaching parents, coaching children, you know, really like maybe back then people would say, oh, this is a little bit of the woo-woo stuff. but I had this deeper awareness going, which I've had since I was like a child. I was receiving messages back when I was 10 years old, and I already saw that my mother was going to be dying at a young age. Like, I just kind of knew things. I knew things about people, and couldn't really hold back. Like, it just naturally would just come out of me. Wow. And so it was kind of like this thing. I knew that somehow in my life, on my path, I would be combining being a motivational life coach with an intuitive. And that in that way, I could combine all of my gifts. I could be a teacher. I could be a mentor. I could empower teenagers, children, adults. I could bring in sound healing. I could bring in hands-on healing, long-distance healing, coaching them, get rewiring their brain, looking at their mindset, really looking into the places where most people are kind of skeptical and, you know, not always trusting of themselves, that it's okay to kind of dive deep into those places that we've kind of been running from. And so, yeah, I just created my own Nadie's Way, which combines everything that I love, that I'm super passionate about. And people walk away kind of feeling activated and alive.
That's awesome. This is like you've got your Xavier's School for the Gifted that you're running out there, and you're unleashing X-Men upon the world. So just to back up, because as I kind of hear some things, I'll kind of jump in and ask a couple questions if that's
sure.
okay.
Maybe that's
a good way to do this. Good plan of attack. After high school, you went to college. And then you went to college to become a teacher?
Yes, I did. I've always had a thing for working with disabled children. And so I went to University of Florida and I did my bachelor's and master's there. And so in the past, I worked as an early intervention therapist and a special ed teacher. And I decided, while I was going through that, I kind of knew there was something bigger for me. Yeah. I really knew. And so I let it, you know, unfold itself. I let it, you know, and that's what I always tell people, my clients, like just being present, just allowing all of your feelings to surface. That's what takes you to your path. That's what brings you to your love, what really lights you up. And that's what I did. So yeah, that's, that was the beginning of my journey after finishing high school, which was like 18 years ago.
I know, right? This is where things get crazy, right? Because who would have ever thought we'd be able to say in a conversation casually, like, oh yeah, 15 years ago I did 15 years ago I did that. Wait, what? Oh my god. You know, and back then we just thought 15 years sounded like, you know, eons. So when you were a teacher, you were sort of working already. You weren't exactly running a classroom teaching math or anything like that. You were there specifically to sort of assist from a sort of special education perspective. And was it during that time that something was there, like an inciting incident, as they might call it, or that first spark for you that kind of showed you there's probably a way that I should be doing a lot more than I'm doing? And is there a way you could kind of tell us that story? Is that safe to tell?
Sure. That excites me totally. So I was a special ed preschool teacher, and then I became an early intervention therapist where I was working with families in their homes. And that's when I really got stepped into these amazing gifts that I had. And I was like, wow, I'm using them now, except I was still kind of having no choice but to live and work in a box because I was not working for myself at this point. And I remember I was working with this one family and they were really struggling, like really struggling. And because I see things and hear a lot of things, I oftentimes receive messages about people's health, and like I can like kind of tap into their bodies and into their children. And so I was receiving multiple messages about both the mother and her son, who was 1 year old at that time. And I was like, oh my goodness, like how am I going to keep going like this? Because there's only so much that I can say that's okay to say. And I don't like this feeling of having to hold back. It's not working for me. It's not serving me and it's not serving them. There's an energy of like, there's a distance, there's a separation, you know? And I take my clients really seriously. Like I love and treasure them to pieces. And anytime I'm invested in their health, in their well-being, I can't, you know, I just can't hold back. I have to speak my truth, just like I want them to speak theirs. That's one of the biggest things that I teach.
Wow.
And so I knew then that it was like, okay, this is not going to be going on that much longer. Yet I still continued to work.
Well, yeah, we have to, right?
Yeah, yeah. And then I decided to take a huge leap of faith and left a special ed preschool job and where I was also working in the homes as an early intervention therapist. And I just said, it's time. The time is now. I've been wanting to do this for a long time. I've known forever that I'm supposed to be working for myself. That's my path. And so I did. I followed my passion, and it's been quite a journey.
Wow. That's awesome. That's awesome. That's, I mean, I find that very inspiring, because it's, I think it's an area a lot of people have not been able to find as a clear a way of being able to see these things as you have. And I'm sure you have a few more resources than some people have with these sort of gifts that you've got. So I do want to kind of jump to that, but I do, I think just to kind of cap off that thought of, I know that there's a way for people who don't have gifts to be able to kind of get to this point. And I think that's really awesome that you've found a way to channel all of this into something that is both serving that goal, but also something that's able to sustain you as well. So I think that for me, definitely one of the reasons that I find I maybe it's just because for me, when I, maybe it's a little bit more real when you know the person, or at least have a little bit of a history with the person, but just seeing some of the things coming out of the people who were around us when we were growing up too, and, you know, seeing companies that people are starting and websites and all different ventures. I really am inspired by ones that are like yours, that are kind of bringing what I felt like a lot of us back then, and maybe something I'm a little afraid that the world might be shedding too much at times, which is also another thing I want to talk to you about, because the times we live in probably have a lot of effects on the work that you do. Mm-hmm. It's nice to see someone bringing what I felt like was more of a universal kind of like good naturedness that I feel like was very present where we grew up and in the community that we grew up in, at least in the school, you know, and in the friendships I had and friendships I'm sure a lot of us had. So it's kind of, to me, those are the things that make me feel hopeful that, for as bad as things get and as cynical and jaded as I can be, anyone who follows me on my personal Facebook page can tell you, definitely got a lot of negative responding energy to some things that are happening in the world. So it's kind of, to me, a hopefulness that somebody that is from kind of back in the day when things felt a little bit more sane and going towards a lighter place than they're in now. And you're kind of able to focus that like a laser and pinpoint people that can benefit from that help. And I'm sure some people are finding you and you're finding people. So tell me a little bit about how, once you took this leap, it developed into what Nady's Way has become in recent times. And some of the videos that I see where you're kind of just kind of letting everybody in for half an hour and just kind of giving them a little bit of insight in what's going on with you and how that kind of, I guess, is related to the kind of work you're going to be doing with them in the different modalities that you operate under.
Sure, sure.
Very so meandery question for you.
Yeah, I'm just trying to take in that question. So you want me to?
It's sort of the full package of what happened next, but it's sort of talk a little bit about how that moment of inciting kind of realization for you then started to take the form of going out on your own, how you kind of how you kept going through that, what your leap of faith was being responded to with to let you know you were on a better path and the right path. And then how it went from that to what it is now.
Yeah, that's interesting, right? Yeah, it's definitely shifted, Dave. It's shifted a lot over the years. And it hasn't been easy. And I tell that to everybody, you know, this journey is not, it's going to be uncomfortable. And I was willing to go through that. I knew from the very beginning that this was a huge, huge leap. And, you know, it's not like I had, you know, tons of money put aside that I could just, you know, that this would just naturally be, you know, like that I'd have more than enough space and time to be in this and not to be thinking about other things, not to have distractions. Like it was a lot of work. It was a lot of work. And I can honestly say to you that the teachers that I've had that have shown up in my life, those people have had the most profound influence on me and have brought me, they've brought me back to my center. You know, when I began, I remember feeling kind of like just not trusting myself all the way. And when I began, I was just at that point giving energy healing sessions where, and you know, and I wasn't even, it was even difficult for me to be like, oh, this has a price, you know,
right.
Because just stepping up into that, you know, onto that level, you know, of like, I have enough self-worth to right. be able to charge for my service. It took me time. It took me time. And I knew, you know, with the kinds with what was coming through, I knew that I had a bigger purpose here. I knew that it wasn't just giving. I knew that that there was more to it than just giving a hands-on energy healing session, because the sessions that I was giving, they'd lead into these deep conversations, and it was like, oh, I'm coaching this person. Like, really? Yeah, I'm doing that. And I have a coach, but don't I need more coaching before I can coach this person? So it's just, so stepping into my role, you know, I remember I had this wonderful teacher named Roger Ancinelli from Hoboken, New Jersey, actually. And he always said, what?
That's a home state, man. I don't know what to tell
yeah.
you.
Yeah. I used to live there. And I remember him saying to me, he's like, so what's wrong with stepping into your giant-like self? You know, why is it that we have such resistance to being in our giant-like self? You are a giant, and that's why you're here. And that really stood out for me, because I was what I noticed in the beginning of this journey was this constant need to explain myself, to prove myself, to still be protecting myself. You know, all the things that like I teach my clients now, and so it was my own inner journey of healing. You know,
wow.
And. I do believe that when you go through, so I lost my mother when I was 21 years old.
Oh, I'm sorry.
And that was life changing. That was a big game changer. And I lost several other people in my life, and it really pushed me to say, hey, I'm in this lifetime now. I want to be present now. I want to be grounded. I don't want to be, you know, yes, I'm able to channel and to tune into the spiritual realm, shall we say. Yes, I am of sorts an intuitive, a shaman, whatever you want to call me.
I think I called you a shaman in one of our chats, yeah. Right? Is that what I hope that wasn't inappropriate, but to me that's actually in my mind a much more of like a respected label, you know? Like to me, when I think of a shaman, I'm just like, whoa, okay, I am sitting down to listen to you. You know what I mean? That like I am in awe of somebody who is that connected to what I think, you know, there's some of us that are probably a little sensitive to the fact that all of this is happening around us and that there are these energy fields, but we're not quite as, like, we're kind of old school rabbit ears and you guys are full on fiber optic satellite, like, I'm jacked in. You know, the rest of us are like, I get it through the snow every once in a while. I see a word and I don't know what it fucking means and I just kind of hopefully work off of it in the right way, but you probably get like an actual pamphlet and it's like, oh, that's what that meant. You literally had like the last word of that sentence, Dave. I'm sorry. I'm like, you kind of got close, but if you had the rest of the paragraph, that's why you come to me. I can get you the paragraph. That's the deal.
Totally. Yep. And that's an interesting piece of this, because once you have a title like this, and that's why in ways I am humble, you know, like I'm not just going out like as soon as you say something like this, I'm a shaman. People are like, what do you see? What do you hear? What do you feel around me? Can you tell me? And that's not what I want to be doing, you know, like that's like that there's a time and place for that. And, you know, I think honestly, I'm here to impact people's lives and to show them that they're just as capable as me. If that's what they want, if that's what they desire, they can go to those places just as much, you know, like it doesn't mean that, you know, I'm on some pedestal because, you know, it's not like that, you know? And so I feel like we're all teaching each other, you know, that's what this life is about. These relationships, these connections, you know, even right now, this is a life-changing experience.
Well, now that I will put on a t-shirt, friend, put on the Holonine website, a life-changing experience, get into the spotlight. Thank you. Cause to me, this is awesome. These are the kind of things. And there've been a couple people I would say I've met in the last 6 months, maybe even, where the conversation suddenly goes in a way that I'm like, you know what? I think I've been waiting for this conversation since I was a kid, you know, and that's actually one of the things I think it grabs me about some of the things you were saying earlier is about how you kind of at such an early age started to realize the manifestations of this sensitivity and these gifts that you had. The only thing that I could say where I relate is where I feel like I kind of just initially, I think my awareness of this kind of level of what could be more outside of what we actually are only able to see with our eyes and feel with our skin in this world. And the naive part of me took that from stories and from movies and from watching movies and reading books and anyone who would present these things in a way that was much more akin to being used for a science fiction kind of setting and kind of putting it out there that, oh, in this world, these people have these powers and they can go to the spiritual realm. And you're like, well, that's just cool as hell, man. And what if there is a spiritual realm? And so once you start opening your mind to think about it, even assigning a possibility of reality to it, it starts to become a little real. And I think these are things that in times past, even in our lifetime, times past, decades, let's say, it's been looked more at like, well, that's make-believe, and you're just indulging yourself in make-believe. Whereas in, I think, the last 10 years, I would say more and more, there's been a lot more of, I think, a mainstream awareness and just a general awareness that probably if you're just believing in the box, you're kind of missing a lot. You know what I mean? Like it's like you're just staying on analog and the internet is out here and you're just like avoiding it. Whereas for you, the internet is actually like these energies that you can have access to or that have somehow chosen you to access through, to channel through.
I like how you share that, because that's funny that you bring this up. I was today making a live video and I was thinking about how, I mean, one of the things, and I don't take it for granted, that I can be doing a video and then I start to connect to the people that are going to be signing on and watching the video, and just being able, like, it's so amazing to connect through the internet and to tap into other people's needs. Like, what is it that's going to light them up? What is it that's going to just bring that, you know? And it's like, it's just so juicy what can happen all through the internet. And you're not seeing these people's faces. You're just presenting and sharing, you know? And so I receive a lot through those experiences, and I feel like the same goes for people that are, you know, on the internet and they're following different people. You know, it's always about learning and creating these relationships and staying open to the possibility of what will come through that experience.
Mm. Now, when this all started, when you were young, like when you were 10, I think you were saying it started.
Yep.
How did you first interpret what was going on? Did you always have a sort of innate comfort with this, or was it scary? I mean, is it okay for me to ask a little bit about like?
Absolutely.
Because I mean, in all honesty, one of the things I love about this is it feels like this is like a movie. I'm like, oh my God, like this is exactly something I would have written. I'm like, this kid has powers. All right, what's going on? But I mean, to me, as fun as that is, I know that there's a very serious side to this, because I can only imagine what it must be like to actually experience something like that. And I think that's something that you know, fiction will tend to play with, is the idea that, you know, this may look fantastical to everybody outside of it, but when you're the one who has to learn how to cope with it or you know, exactly. operate it, it's like puberty twice. You know what I mean? It's like
You said it, Dave. You have such a way with your words. I really admire how you interpret and how you are able to tap into your own feelings within yourself, just to, you know, like, this is, we've never had this, you know, gotten into this conversation, and it's just, it's such a pleasure to see how we can connect on this level.
Well, thank you. I'm actually, this is like one of the best interviews I've done ever. This is just the vibe here is great, and I think you're definitely bringing some of that energy to the table of, we're probably connected to some outer realm that I can't see, and I'm just sitting here all jealous, like, well, at least they're listening to us. That's cool. That'll be great for the Hollow Nine ratings.
Amazing, amazing, amazing. So I'm going to step back and answer your question. I remember being very scared, to be honest with you. I always felt like I had this story, this program that I call these, you know, these belief systems that we tend to carry from our childhood all the way into our adulthood. And mine was, I'm just too much. I'm just too much. I'm just too intense, you know, and maybe I should just shut my mouth. Like, you know, I don't know. People can't handle it. Like, I'm scared to say what I'm really thinking, what I'm feeling. And when I do, it gets me into trouble. That was always my belief, you know. Oh, I should be walking on eggshells, because if I say this, oh, I don't know what they're going to have to say about that, you know.
Wow.
And so that's what I went through, which I will jump forward, goes back to what you asked me, like, when I first started this, when I made this big leap into this work, it was a huge, huge factor in what held me back and made things kind of just take their time, you know, like, and I just had to work with it, because I had to untangle and unwind all of those programs that I had running within me and that were so alive, even though I didn't want them to be alive, but yet I had no choice but to work with them, you know, to really feel them and not run away from them.
Yeah.
So that's what I would experience when I was a child. It was really intense. It was really, really intense. And I oftentimes felt like, almost like I was doing it on my own. I kind of felt like I was like the outsider. And, you know, I had close friends, but yet I just still felt very different. Like, I just felt like there was a lot that was going on in here that other people didn't really know about. And that's okay. That was my mode of survival. That was my way of just functioning in life. That's how I functioned. You know, children learn how are they going to function. And then whatever they choose, that's how they roll.
Well, I think you definitely, you may not realize it, but there was definitely something about you that you had a little bit of this sort of standout quality, like even just in the wash of people in the hallway, like you kind of stand out a little bit. So as alone as you might have felt, I think that I'm sure there were other people that like were friends with you and that were either teammates or whatever on any extracurricular stuff or classmates that probably had a feeling of sort of like, I kind of feel like I know you a little bit, even though we probably don't talk about a lot of stuff, you know, like just kind of like that weird, we're both kind of sensitive to the vibes out there. And maybe that's connecting a bunch of us, you know. I don't know.
Said it, Dave. I totally agree with you. And actually, I think that's a big reason why people relate to me and find me on the internet, because there is something about me, and I've known this since I was a child, that even though I had this belief that I was like the outsider, I'm different, I'm kind of crazy, I receive a lot of messages, you know? At the same time, I knew that there was this energy within me that other people knew always that they could trust and rely upon me, that they would come to me. I mean, I can't even, it was kind of like I was like the go-to coach that friends would come to, and like they knew that they were going to feel safe coming to talk to me. It was like, because I was not, you know, I might have been 10 or 11, but based on things that were happening in my life, I kind of always felt like I was not the age that I was. Like, I was like, well, where am I? And like, I don't even feel in ways like I'm a part of this world. And yet I had to be where I was, you know, and,
right.
and just move through it, you know?
Yeah. Wow. So that's, I mean, this is all, I'm fascinated by all of this. Cause that's a lot of this lends credence to like kind of, you know, it's one thing to kind of be sort of getting to a place where a lot of this is becoming more apparent in the world, and that there are people like you who can talk about this and make it palatable to where people aren't immediately going to revert to, oh, tinfoil hat, or, oh, you're kind of, you know, just call you crazy, and that writes things like this off. But I think part of why I'm so fascinated is because as a little kid, I was like, this is stuff that they used to just say was make-believe, and I always kind of wanted it to be real. And I think that maybe if that's as close as I got to having any kind of sensitivity to it, was just sort of almost like a childlike innocent hope that wow. there was got to be more than this sort of like limited tangibility and sort of kind of rigid in and slightly disappointing in some ways. Just it feels like there's got to be more. You know, I would walk around and always say things like, oh, man, I hope vampires are real and werewolves and all of it. Like, I just want to run into one day and survive it, obviously. I want to get through it. I want to be able to talk about having like I guess yeah. like when like the movie Interview with a Vampire came out. My favorite character in that whole movie, I mean, Lestat was really cool, but I loved the guy who was interviewing Louis. I was like, this guy just met a vampire, like, dude. And he just said, hey, instead of killing you, I know that you do interviews. Let's chat. Maybe this was a subconscious reason I started a podcast network. I have no idea, but one of the things too about this that's so cool is that when you were talking about this now with a lot more ability and probably a lot more syntax and a lot more context to be able to look back at things like that and say, well, even if that seemed cute and silly and people laughed at it back then, look at now, you can draw a direct line. We were always parts of who we are, right? At all times. Yeah. We just may not have understood it at the time. But when I hear you say you're like, I don't feel like I'm part of this, I'm like, okay, you're so another spirit. You're like somebody who had another life, obviously. And you're kind of like at moments realizing you're like, oh, man, I'm just in this life. You know what I mean? Like, what happened to that other one that I was in, or what's the next one I'm going to jump into? And just the idea of that, to me, makes it a lot easier to let go of all the sort of things that are wrong or that feel off about the world now, you know, because it's like there clearly is something more. And a lot of this doesn't matter as much as we make it matter. So thank God, you know.
You hit it on the head. It's all, we can get so caught up in our minds, in these thoughts, that and waste our energy, really waste our energy. Like I say to people, it's like, why do we go down that vortex and we go deeper and deeper and deeper into it when we could save ourselves a lot of time and go to a totally different place, which would really serve us and serve others around us, yet we still put ourselves through hell sometimes.
Yeah.
You know?
Absolutely. So I feel like I keep stealing your thunder then if I'm like, oh, yeah, I'm basically just said what you were going to say. what is it like? Can you describe what it's like to kind of receive messages or to channel some of these things? I mean, if that, because these are the things that intrigue me. This is like the stuff that you realize, oh, maybe in a dream I did that. But I know somebody who actually kind of can. And like you said, at some point you have to get to a point where you not necessarily can control it, but can at least, maybe control it is the right word, or at least, you know, cope. I don't know if maybe that's not the right word either.
Separate from it. Sometimes
sure.
Like, you know, you can just, here we go. I always say to people, it's about being present, you know, so that you can really just let go of the constant, you know, mode of receiving. I like this question though that you asked about what is it like when you receive messages, when you see images, when you hear names. It is so, I mean, it blows me away, to be honest with you. One of the things that I do is I work with the Akashic Records, and the Akashic Records, they're too freaking cool. Basically, I start to connect to people's ancestors and to all teachers, alive, dead, whoever it is that shows up around them. And through that, I'm able to receive so much. And sometimes I'm like, how is it that I can have the kind of clarity, the visions, like, of stepping into someone's childhood and seeing the kinds of food they used to eat, and or like the hairdo that they used to wear, and the kind of conversations they'd have with other people, or their relationship with their grandma, like just like when you get to that point, sometimes I'm like, it amazes me, to be honest with you. And I just every time I go into it, I'm like, oh my goodness. I'm so grateful, so beyond grateful, that I can show up with someone and show up with my clients and hold space in this way. Because to me, when I go into that mode of channeling and receiving, it's oftentimes the foundational piece in working with someone, because it gives us the information that we need to begin the journey together. You know, it kind of says, it brings up those, you know, those stagnant subconscious programs that we've been like yearning to like really explore, except we kind of just like, I've had enough of that, you know? And so for me, when I receive these images or these names, like names of people, which is like, whoa, like I don't even know how that comes in. I have like friends, family members of my clients. I see it as this opportunity to take that and then move from that piece, from that place, into the areas of that person's life that they're really looking to work on. You know, like, what is it that they're like looking to explore, and how can they grow through this experience? So it's not just like, you know, oh, I'm predicting your future. You know, people say, are you a psychic? And I'm like, no, you know, that is not what I'm here to do. No. You might ask me a question like, oh, would this serve me? Like, you know, going to this place at some point in my life, you know, like I'll receive information about that too. Yet what I'm really here to do is to tap in to that subconscious of yours and see how can we approach it in such a way that you're able to be present and you're able to use your gifts. That's really the biggest thing. So it's like, yeah, I might be channeling and receiving this information, yet then it's really just a gift to you, the client that I'm working with, because then they're able to take that and be and really move, like really move fast. Sometimes it's fast. The information that they start to like, oh yeah, and that makes it, oh my goodness, and that can do da, da, da. So it's like, it's such, I just look at it, this is all an opportunity to grow. It's all an opportunity to expand. It's all an opportunity to see how can I make the most out of my purpose in being here in this life now? What am I here to do? You know? So that's how I see it.
Wow. I mean, obviously it's the kind of thing that I think a lot of movies and TV shows will kind of play with and kind of portray. And I'm wondering, is there anything you've ever seen either in a movie or a TV show that has sort of at least maybe come close to capturing what the phenomenon is actually like in the moment of when you, because I guess when I hear you talking about it, and what I'm picturing is like, you'll be in a conversation like this or with a colleague or with somebody on the bus, mm-hmm. and like in the middle of it, you're like, whoa, okay, shit, I just got a name. You know what I mean? And it's just like that conversation just got derailed. I'm sorry. I don't know what we were talking about anymore because I got to find Bob, you know, and Bob could be Bob could be two seats away on the bus, or Bob could be wherever you're going. And if we were writing this as a movie, that is what starts this whole story. And then we're just following you on the journey to Bob. But, you know, Bob maybe is somebody who's about to jump off a building. So you got to get to the top of the building before he does that. And now, all from that moment where you just got your conversation interrupted, we have the story of you helping Bob and whatever, but whatever put Bob up on the building, now we got to figure out and why you were told to help him. It unlocks, it as a storyteller, it unlocks all kinds of cool ways to have your characters interact and to keep the audience engaged and interested, because, you know, anytime you're playing with this way of, I think what the lay people would call sort of a supernatural connection between people driving the story, there's a little bit of a sort of excitement around that. And I think it might tap into something, which I started to think when you were talking about how, you know, all of us have, you know, these gifts that are sort of locked away that we don't all have necessarily, whatever faculties that came with your mechanics that allow you to channel or connect or receive or be sensitive to it. But our subconscious has a little bit of that. And I think everybody's subconscious does. And it's almost a travesty level shame that it's exactly what it's called. It's subconscious. Like, we don't have conscious access to it. And it's almost the kind of thing that, you know, why were we given this but not given access to it? You wonder how we all wound up so closed off. So it's super cool that there are people who aren't, though, and that you can maybe help all of us unlock that within ourselves. It sounds a little bit like that's kind of partly what happens when you guys work together, you and your clients work together.
That is exactly what happens. That's exactly what happens. And when I do work with people and we start to unlock these patterns and open up this awareness within them, it's such a release. So oftentimes people will start to laugh hysterically, or, you know, because I also channel, I work with sound healing. And so when I start to receive guidance, like I'm speaking in a light language, you know? And somehow this opens them up to, whoa, I can go there? Wow, where am I? I'm in some other world. So it is like a movie. And I just want to feedback into what you're asking me about. Like, does this relate to, like, have you seen like a movie that's like this? Is that kind of what you were saying?
Something that portrayed at least close to what it's really like for you, you know, when you have these experiences of you're receiving a message or maybe visions, or like you were describing going into somebody's childhood. You know, part of my mind immediately pictures you know, any number of TV shows where, like, you know, they show the character close their eyes and then all of a sudden they open their eyes and they're in the scene and we're watching whatever play out, scenario from somebody's childhood. So I'm thinking, all right, is it like that? Does Nady do that? Nady closes her eyes and then is walking around somebody's memory and kind of interacting with or witnessing it? Because that's insanely cool. I'm like blown away. If you're telling me that's what you do, I'm like, oh my God. Oh my God. If maybe my whole path was just to get back to talking to you to learn that this is real and people do this, and oh my God, like, that's paradigm shifting, you know? That's incredible.
Yeah, you know, every single time, I'm just thinking, like, just wanting to answer this question.
I know, I tend to take it so far. I apologize. I'm very a difficult interviewer sometimes.
You know, because every experience is different, right? Yeah. It's totally different. And,
I mean, I always assume that, you know, what the stuff you're seeing on TV or in movies is just like a really, like, an artistic interpretation, but also done in a way that's, you know, supposed to be entertaining. So I don't imagine that, like, you know, you close your eyes and then all of a sudden you're like on another planet experiencing
not like that. And it's sometimes because there's no sense of time. Sometimes it can seem sort of scattered. Like, I can be in, in one memory or one vision, or, you know, maybe it's from a past life. And then I'm, the next thing I know, I'm in another a totally different space with that same person. And I might be asking them questions, you know, about their connections to, you know, I don't, like today I was like talking to this woman about, I said, what's the fox about? Like, is there like some, like, does your son have a connection to this, to the fox? Like, is the fox like his spirit animal? Or, and she goes, oh my God. She just like, you should have seen her face. And she just said, to me, well, she goes, not only today, but she goes, but lately for like weeks now, there's been a fox that's been hanging out on our property. And my son is totally like fascinated by this animal. And he also is fascinated by talking about his dead family. And so it led into this awesome conversation on how to communicate with her son on a totally different level. And oftentimes I do that with my clients when they have children, is like really tapping into this child and what he or she is here to do, and how they're functioning, and like how they're taking in the world. Wow. And so I don't know if I can really answer, like, because every experience is different, right?
Yeah.
I don't know if I can full on answer this question about, is it like a movie? I guess in some ways, maybe it is. Maybe you're right. Like, it is. I don't know. I guess I have Nadie's way, my way of diving in, shall I say. And, you know, it's totally, totally different every single time I go in. So, I guess that sums it up a little bit.
Yeah. Well, you know, if you ever now, I mean, you know, now hopefully going forward, if you ever watch a movie where you're like, okay, that what's going on the screen right there, that's exactly what it's like. They finally, these guys nailed it on the head. You got to let me know so we could do a follow up on that. Okay. But just, I mean, that last example you gave about the fox was so interesting, because I think, one of the things that might be interesting for us to kind of go down as we're sort of gearing towards wrapping up a little bit, is what would be some of the reasons that people would seek you out? You know, like when that particular example, did she come to you because she was having trouble communicating with her son? Or was that sort of like, that was like a happy accident from like branching off of whatever you were originally working together for? So just so that anyone out there who's listening, who might think, you know, this might be something that could help me, you know, what is sort of like the typical gamut of things you see people about?
Sure. So in that specific scenario, she had mentioned to me about a week before making this appointment that she was really curious to tap into her son's abilities, and that she was just curious about it and really, and wanting to know how to approach it, you know? And so I brought that, that was definitely in the back of my mind, you know, and, but really when I dive into the reasons why people come to see me, I'll go into it. Number one, trauma, not feeling safe in their body and wanting a coach who's a support system, who's somebody who inspires them, who brings out the best in them, who lets them go to that space within them that they're not maybe so comfortable yet with sharing in the world, you know? Number two, so trauma leads back into your inner childhood wounds, yeah? And your inner childhood wounds, oftentimes people are not able to, shall I say, turn them into their gifts. And so, and they're looking to, and they want to get to that spot. They're like, yeah, I want that. I want more of that. That stuff you talk about in your videos, people come for that. Number three, mindset. They want to, you know, they see their ways of functioning in this world, and they want to make shifts. They want to make changes. They want to be living a life that they desire. They desire a life that empowers them. Oh, that's big. And because of the fact that I take all of my different modalities and sessions, you know, someone might start by coming to see me for an intuitive reading, but really it's about the long-term picture in working when I combine the intuitive coaching with activations, so that as when people come to me, they know they're not just going to get an experience where Nadie's only channeling. They're going to get an experience where they're challenged, where they're really put into they're literally pushed to step into that uncomfortable zone. So let's see, what else do people come to me for? A lot of parents come to me. I see a lot of parents and children. I work with teenagers. I work with teenagers who are trying to, like, who are figuring themselves out, exploring ways of, you know, believing in themselves, and anxiety. Often big theme on why people come to me, not only with teenagers, but also with adults. And so, and there's something, this is because of my system, Nadie's Way, and the fact that I really meet you where you're at, yet I somehow have this way of bringing you in and getting you to that next step and the next step, but in the right, it's all about the timing. And I feel like there's, as an intuitive and a coach, there are many people out there that are doing work, perhaps similar to me. I think, you know, we all have our own ways of doing things, but I think there's something about how my ability to listen and for people to feel seen. People come to me to be seen. That's a big one, a big, big one. Wow. So there's those, I feel like this is all, I think that sums it up. Yeah. Yeah. I was going to get into something else, but I'm like, no, that gets to it.
Nice.
Yeah. And I think it's really, it's my passion and my love that it really, and the laughter medicine that people come for, that they're like, oh my gosh, like this, you walk away, you go from crying to laughing to crying. Like, come on, how much better can it get?
It's cry laughing. Yeah. As long as it's cry laughing, you know, that laughing that you're like laughing so hard that you cry, or crying so hard that you laugh. Yeah. That's awesome. One last question, because after all this, I just realized, I'm like, okay, what are you scared of? Or are you scared of anything anymore? Because that's one of the things that kind of screams across to me now, is I'm just like, oh my God, she's probably not afraid of anything. Or maybe there are things that she's afraid of that are so intense we might not even be able to handle it if she told us. But it's just an interesting thing to me in looking at all of this. What are the things that keep you up at night?
Keep me up at night, or
they're different than the things that scare you? Okay, let's stay with what scares you then.
I'll go right to it. So one of the things that scares me the most is heights. I am like just totally, I make myself crazy. Anytime I hike or I have to go up a flight of stairs or down a flight of stairs, like on a steep hike, and you're looking at the ocean, or, you know, you're on a staircase that's super shaky, and you're like anything that I have to either be looking up or looking down beneath me, it freaks me out. It really scares me. And no matter, I mean, I will admit, over this past year, I've been a digital nomad supporting people all over the world. Mm-hmm. And through that experience, it really tapped me into how much I fear heights. And it was something that I had kind of put aside, Dave. I had really been like, you know, yeah. I'll let that go. And then I started to see that, like, oh, well, I could die. I could literally die with in any moment, you know. And I did some hikes when I was in Thailand and in Bali that were totally way out of my comfort zone, that brought me back to my center and said, oh, there's still that fear of death. There's still that fear of heights. Like, oh, really? I can actually, to be able to see death when it's happening. And then there's this piece of me that says, I surrender and I let it all go. And if I die, I die. Then I lived the life that I lived, and I did what made me so beyond happy in this life to give back to the world, you know? But that, when to just sum it all up, honestly, that is my biggest fear. That's my biggest fear. So.
So it's not the death, it's the heights. Or is it death manifested through fear of heights?
It's death manifested through heights. It's like because I receive these visions and images, when I go to these places, I literally step ahead and start to imagine and create a story that hasn't even happened. And it makes me pretty crazy. It's kind of like somebody that has obsessive compulsive disorder, where I can't let a thought go. Like, and I just keep playing it back over and over and over again. And so it's something that I'm aware of and that I definitely want to continue to work on. In fact, I have an incredible hypnotherapist who's a friend of mine and a colleague named Morgan Yakis, and she is amazing with dealing with fears. And I feel like in this case, there's certain things that, like, you know, that would be really helpful. That would be really, really helpful.
I'm just going to hypnotize this one away. Forget it. It's gone.
Sometimes there's just, you know, and the other thing I will say that I used to fear, and I'm and at times it still comes back to visit me, is darkness.
Oh, wow.
I love darkness, and I also hate it too. It's the Nady Quate creating visions, creating images of things that could happen when I'm walking through the dark. Especially, and it came up really, really strong when I was living outside of the United States this past year and walking in different places that I was not familiar with. And really, I was like, oh my goodness, this is strong. And it was already there before I even left when I was living in Woodstock, New York. But it got worse.
Wow.
And it's something that I am conscious of and that I am open to receiving more through it. And that I know that over time, like anything, any pattern that you're aware of and that you want to give attention to, you know, you can change it. You can change it. You just putting your heart, your mind to it. You got it. You can do it.
Nice. All right. Well, I think if you're not inspired to reach out to Nady and find out more about the Nady's way that she's been talking about and that we've been talking about here this whole time, I don't know what more could be. You might need to check your pulse, make sure you're still alive. So for all of those people out there, though, who are now like, oh my God, this can't be the end of the episode. I need to hear more. I need to keep talking to Nady. Hopefully you'll come back and hang out with us again sometime, because I think we could just have some crazy off-the-wall conversations about just like the way the energies of the world work and what lives are like and all the things that kind of happen when we unlock our potential. But for those of you who don't want to wait for us to have that next episode and want to reach out to you right now and learn more about Nady's way, where can they go to look? Where should they find you on the interwebs? How can they channel their energy on towards you?
Sure. So if you guys want to find out more, maybe check out some of my videos, you can find me on Facebook at Nady's Way or Nady Quate. And on Instagram, same way, Nady's Way. And the last thing I wanted to say, just as a special gift to you guys, and NadyQuate.com. That's my website, of course.
It's always good to mention that one.
Yeah.
Which will be linked in the show notes as well, folks. But you can go ahead and give it to me here, too. It's always good to hear people say it.
Yeah.
You see it, you hear it, you write it. It's all good.
Yeah, brother. So, and I just wanted to announce to you guys, to all of the listeners here today, that within the next 30 days, I'm offering a special gift to you, which is that if you decide you want to try out a solo intuitive reading with me, an Akashic Records intuitive reading, I'm offering it at 10% off. And if you're curious to book a package with me where we can dive even deeper and we can explore other modalities along with coaching, I'm offering 20% off of those packages. So feel free to reach out to me. Those are the two things that I'm gifting you today. And feel free to just send me a message if you want to ask some questions. I also do complimentary consultations, which you can book on my website as well.
And you guys thought the holidays were over. Look at that. We got some gifts too. That's awesome. This is what we try to bring really cool people out into the spotlight. So, Nady, thank you so much for hanging out and for blowing my mind and for...
Thank you! Totally, what a joy!
This has been amazing, and I really hope we get to do it again, but I hope everybody out there who's interested reaches out. I definitely... I'm totally... Like, I'm on another plane already. So, guys, and this is just from hanging out and chatting, all right? So just imagine if you guys are going to actually... The real work can begin now. This has been a blast, so thanks a lot, and we'll see you soon.
Great.
You've been listening to the Hollow Nine Network, bringing you the very best in fan-made media. That's the word hollow, the number 9, INE. Now broadcasting from our new home on the web, hollow9.com. where you can find info on all of our awesome programming as well as the team behind the shows. Leave us your feedback, join in the conversation, and be a part of the action. Find the Hollow Nine Network on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Snapchat. Rate and review us on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, or wherever you find your podcasts. Email us at info@hollow9.com or at hollow9podcast@gmail.com. Join in the fun. Hollow Nine.
Who am I? I'm the girl with the big ass gun.
Welcome to Hollow Nine's 10 Minutes in Purgatory podcast, in which we recap and review each episode of sci-fi's hit TV series, Wynonna Earp. I am Jennifer Nine, and with me is my co-host and resident Hollow Nine Earp expert, Jennifer Earp.
Hey there, Earpers. This is Jennifer Earp.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the main event. It's the clash of the Lady Titans beneath the neon lights, happening before your eyes and ears right here tonight. Put your hands together for the Hollow Nine Network's Glow Podcast. And now, your hosts, Jennifer Nye, Whitney Benson, and Liz Joplin.
USA Networks, Damnation. Hollow Nine Network is proud to present The Damned Flock, a Damnation podcast.
I bid you hear my words, for there are devils among us, those who would conspire and plot against you, against me, against the very fiber that holds together to make this country strong. We have been prepared for these biblical times. This is a country at war, and we have been divinely armed. You see, brothers and sisters, we were given not a word, but a sword. The time has come for the sheep to rise against the wolves. The time has come to break their fucking backs. So you must choose a side now. Are you with the flock? Or the strike breakers.
Bring their fucking backs.
The Damned Flock. Join us.